replaced wood siding or a garage door because of rain damage. Gutter Guy Seamless Gutters, a rain drainage expert, can help. With 12 different colors to match your home's exterior, the Gutter Guy manufactures and installs 5, 6, and 7-inch seamless gutters. For repairs or gutters for the entire house, Gutter Guy is ready to serve all your rain drainage needs. Gutter Guy, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, is available at 334-3139.
Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible. As I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word, I see myself as God sees me. I am who He says I am. I have what He says I have. I can do what He says I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive, my mind is alert, and I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated. Receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everyone's saying, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 3:13-14, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, who will give you the Spirit without reserve. You understand? And so God made the promise. He said, look, it's more expedient for you that I go away. Of course, if I don't go away, the comforter, the paraclete, the your helper, your everything will not come. So it's better for you that I go away, because when I go, I will send him. And when he comes, he's going to do stuff. Yeah. Amen. And so he promised us the Holy Spirit. So he says, so a father's promise would be coming of the Holy Spirit to live in them and empower them. So stay here in the city until the mighty power of heaven falls upon you and wraps around you. I like the way it says it in Passion. And so he says, it wraps around you. Amen. We sing, wrap me in your love, wrap me in your arms. You're in there. You're there. He says, I'm like a chick and I want to just hold you beneath my wings, the pinions of my wings. Amen. He's my rear guard. God is an amazing God. And so now watch this. He says, that mighty power falling from heaven. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's saying, I want you to be my witnesses, but you don't go until you've been endued, until you've been filled with another power. Now, question. This is how I get saved. The Bible says, John 3:3, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom, etc., etc., right? And then in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, he says, here's how you get saved. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved, for the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So he says, you've got to believe that Jesus is who he said he is, and that he lived and died, and that God raised him from the dead. If you believe that and you speak that, you're saved. Anyone disagree with that? Does everybody agree with that? I've got to believe, and I can receive the free gift of salvation that Jesus has given to me. All right, now watch this. He had resurrected when he spoke to his disciples. We're talking now, this is after the resurrection. In fact, the next verse says, look here, says, while he was still speaking out words of love and blessing, he floated off the ground into the sky, ascending into heaven before their very eyes. So had he been resurrected when he was speaking to them right there? The answer is emphatically yes. Amen. So they had seen him. They'd seen him crucified. They'd seen him put in the tomb. They'd seen him come out of the tomb. And for a long time, he was with them. For all that time that he was with them before the ascension, They ate with him. He came into the meeting rooms with them. He was there doing things with them. They knew that he had been resurrected. That's why they had so much power. From being Peter, who denied Jesus three times. Just the one time he denied him three times, remember? After that, he was so cowardly at that point. Afterwards, something happened that he said, you're not even going to crucify me like my Savior. You're going to crucify me upside down. He gave the first sermon that saved 3,000 people, and many were added to the church thereafter daily. Now, this man who wouldn't, he was scared to acknowledge that he was with Jesus. All of a sudden, he turned around. Why? He saw the risen, resurrected Christ. He saw him. He spoke with him. He handled him. Remember, he said to Philip, put your hand in, feel, touch. They handled him. They ate with him. They knew he was resurrected. They knew he went down. And they started to understand now, he said, as a prophet Jonah was. This is the only sign you're going to get. So will the Son of Man be. He will be in the belly of a whale for 3 days. He was talking about being in the tomb for 3 days. There's a sign. Now they started to understand. Now they're getting, oh my goodness, he has resurrected. Yeah. Remember the girls? The woman, Mary, ran back to them and said, he's gone. I saw him. I spoke to the master. He's risen. They didn't believe it. And Peter and John ran to the tomb. They raced to the tomb. And who got there first? John. You know what I like about John? When you read any of John's gospel, he says, John, the apostle Jesus loved. Always, always. He always says the apostle Jesus loved. You just read that. Remember he was leaning on Jesus' breast when they were at the Last Supper and the dinner table. And so they ran there. John got there first. But Peter, being who he was, just ran straight in. John stopped to think, you know, maybe there's a ghost. I don't know what he's thinking. Maybe something bad's going to happen if I go. He stopped when he got there. Peter came running behind. Boom, boom, boom. He didn't slow down. He just ran in, just like Peter. If that's you, Lord, tell me to come on the water. Sure, come. Boom. You understand? I love it. Who do men say I am? Peter says, you are the Christ. When they came to arrest Jesus, Peter pulls out his sword and shook off of the guy's ear. He wasn't aiming for his ear. He wasn't a fighter. He wasn't a soldier. He was going for the kill. He missed. And God sorted that mess out. Isn't that true? And so now they've seen Jesus. Do you think now they've had the born again experience? They have actually physically seen Jesus raised from the dead. They are as saved as anyone can be. Is that right? Okay, so we understand. He says to them, go with me to Acts 2. And we're going to look at this. Praise God. So he's saying, I will pray for the fulfillment of the promise that's the Holy Spirit. So now they say it, but he's still promising them the Holy Spirit to come. Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, the believers, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all in one accord. You see, there's something to be said for unity. And if you happen to have the spirit of demonic drama on your life, because that's all I call it. It's demonic drama. Yeah. Where is always drama. Do you know those people? Yeah. Always drama. Well, who's bringing the drama to that situation? It's the enemy. He's trying to keep you wrapped up in drama, 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 drama. Why? Because you're focused so much on all the problems and all the wrongs that your eyes are looking down instead of up or inward. Right? Isn't that the truth? Think about Peter. He was walking on the water. Jesus said, come. He was looking at Jesus. He was walking on the water. He was doing great. But then the drama stepped in and he looked at the drama, the wave and the wind and the rains, and boom, he went down. Drama is a focus breaker, and some people are addicted to it. Ooh, Jesus. I don't do it on purpose. Well, then change it. I can't. It just controls me. Okay? You and your spouse or your kids are having a major fight at home. screaming and going nuts, and you've got the drama flying. And all of a sudden, here comes a pastor walking up the gate, up the driveway, and you see him through the window. I guarantee your drama's gone in a second. Guaranteed you can control it. Am I right? It stops. I'm just saying. So now remember this. This is after these guys have seen Jesus, born again people. He says, wait until you're endued with power from on high. He's talking to born again believers. So he's telling them something else is coming. Something else is coming. And so, watch here. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. It filled the whole house. Can you imagine? And it was so loud that they heard it outside. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Say, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. All filled with the Holy Spirit. They had an expectation. They were waiting in the upper room, because Jesus said, wait, tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. They were filled with the power. Look at this. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, when the Holy Ghost came to Jesus, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with?
Power.
The Holy Ghost and with what?
Power.
Now, remember, the Holy Spirit, when the Bible says in the beginning, Genesis 1, in the beginning, God, Elohim, the all-sufficient one, Jehovah. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But it tells you that the Holy Spirit was hovering. Hovering over all of this land, all of the earth. He was hovering. I don't know what else was crazy. Maybe the planets weren't in line at that stage. We just think the earth. Maybe something happened. I don't know. Maybe it's from when the enemy hit the ground. Who knows? But all I know is it was chaos. It was dark. And he was hovering over the earth. And then God the Father exercised his faith. And God said, light be. The Holy Spirit went into action. The power went into action. And boom, the light came. And God began the creation process. Amen? Is that right? What about Jesus? When Jesus was in the tomb, Romans 8:11 says that the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead. And that same Holy Spirit comes in you. The same power of the Holy Spirit is on us when we receive Him. Now, let me just get this very clear right now. Some people think tongues is the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. It is one of the evidences of being filled with the Spirit. But now listen to me. If you don't speak in tongues, doesn't mean you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to get into that later. You understand? But I want you to know that tongues, and I'm going to get to this point right off the bat, is not of the devil. It's not of the devil. Right? In fact, when they were building that monument to themselves, Babel, remember Babylon? And God said, you know what? Let's just confuse their tongues and give them a different language each. Hey, God's capable of causing me to talk another language. Who's the inventor of language? God. Is that correct?
Yes.
So why would it be so strange that there's a language for heaven? There's a language for Italy. There's a language for South Africa. There's a language for France. There's a language for Germany. There's a language for Korea, North Korea. There's a language for South Korea, for China, for Japan. I mean, do you want to go through the list? Costa Rica, Mexico. Come on. There are languages all over the world. How many of you believe that's true? And when I listen to someone speaking, they can't get that the way. So why would it be so strange that there's a language in heaven?
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.